Welcome to the Plant Yourself Podcast. I'm your host, Howie Jacobson. Excited to let you know that you can now pre-order my new book, You Can Change Other People, The 4 Steps to Help Employees, Colleagues, Even Family Up Their Game. I wrote it with Peter Bregman, who is my coach teacher, my coaching mentor, and it's now available for pre-order. And when you pre-order, you get a whole bunch of fun, valuable bonuses, including 3 recorded demo conversations where we show you exactly how to go through the 4 steps with real people, and a 1-page cheat sheet so you can follow along. The book itself, when you pre-order, will arrive in your mailbox or inbox on September 22nd, 2021. Here's how to do it. Go to plantyourself.com/pre. That's just P-R-E, all lowercase. That will forward you to the page on the Bregman Partners website that has all the information about how to pre-order. Basically, you just order somewhere, either online or at your local independent bookshop, and you send us the receipt via email, and then you get your bonuses. So I'm really hoping that you will help me make this book a big success. I hope it will. You will find it very valuable, and that once you get it and read it, you'll use it and recommend it to others. And so if you've been listening to this podcast for a while and you have gotten value, this is a really easy way for you to give back. It would be a huge help. So again, that's plantyourself.com/pre, P-R-E, all lowercase. All right, let's get to today's show. Okay, today we're going to talk about 3 of my favorite, least favorite things, which is heavy-duty breath work, cold exposure, and heat exposure. And our guide on the journey today is Robbie Bent, who is a co-founder of Othership. He has helped thousands of people learn how to do various different kinds of breathing that can change our mood, can change our mindset, can change consciousness, as well as the hormetic effects, the challenging the status quo effects of ice buckets, ice baths, cold showers, and also saunas and other forms of heat, and moving back and forth between those. This is instead of or in addition to meditation or psychedelics, and Robbie's mission is really to make these incredible modalities democratically available to everyone. Not everyone is a meditator. Not everyone can or should engage in experiments with psychedelics. But the ability to breathe in challenging ways, in excitatory ways, or in relaxing ways, and the ability to make our bodies cold for a while, uncomfortably cold and uncomfortably hot, these are available to all of us. And since recording this conversation, I've already upped my game, and I hope this will lead you to start experimenting, if appropriate, check with your healthcare provider, of course, with some of these modalities for yourself. So without further ado, Robbie Bent, welcome to the Plant Yourself Podcast.
Thanks, Howie. Super grateful to be here and get to know you a little better.
Yeah, likewise. So we're going to be talking about breathing and breath work today, and I'd like to begin by just having you tell folks about who you are and a little bit about your journey.
Absolutely. So I started my career early, trying to like really make money, be successful. And that led to making a ton of poor choices, going into finance and then trying to build a startup just to make money, and, you know, raising venture funding, and the startup failed. And, you know, really quickly, to glance breeze through that, is I was 28, struggling with addiction, living in my parents' basement, feeling really defeated. It was sort of one of the first kind of turning points in my life where everything that was important to me was kind of taken away. I had to, you know, move out of my apartment and sell my car and sell my things, and I, you know, completely broke. And it kind of sent me on this path to figure out how to change. And so that path included 10-day Vipassana meditation retreats, moving to Israel, getting introduced to psychedelic medicines, specifically ayahuasca, which then led on this, you know, 6-year sobriety journey. And as part of that journey, I wanted to teach people about modalities that could help them become happy, help them make behavioral change. I started with psychedelic medicines and meditation, and really struggled to get friends into either of those. One is illegal, and the systems to use them are not quite in place yet, and we can get into that. And the second, meditation, is takes a lot of effort. The feedback loop is quite long as well. And so I saw a lot of my friends struggling to implement either. And it's like, oh man, I really, you know, really want to create something that's going to help people feel better because it worked for me. And, you know, after I had that ayahuasca journey, I joined the Ethereum Foundation, moved to San Francisco, all of a sudden felt successful for the first time, and credit that to, you know, meditation, psychedelic medicines, and breath work. And so the really interesting thing with breath work, or why I was so excited about it, was because it was just more accessible. And so the type of styles we practice combine really amazing electronic music and famous musicians. And it's kind of like listening to your favorite set on, you know, SoundCloud or Spotify, but then with breathing tracks overlaid. And so you just kind of, you know, take 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 3 minutes to have a little break for yourself to listen to great music, and you can change your state. And when we started experimenting with breath work, realized like, wow, this is like having a painkiller, an antidepressant, a psychedelic medicine in your pocket, a coffee in your pocket that you can use at any time, just through physiological changes of breathing. So that was a bit of background on, really short background on a lot of different topics that I've been involved with, but kind of that's why I'm passionate, is I think there's a technique here that can help people master their own mental health and create behavioral change.
I love it. And what occurs to me is maybe kind of a step below and talk about like, what, why do we need anything in order to be mentally healthy and change behavior? Like, that seems to be a fairly uniquely human issue. Like, what's your sort of etiology?
I don't even think it's uniquely human. I think it's suited to our environment and our time. And so things have drastically changed only in the last 20 years, even based on how we evolved. And so you think of the average day now, right? You're predominantly sedentary in a temperature-controlled environment, access and over-access to as much food as possible, generally of a lower health quality, lack of exercise and movement compared to ancestors. And then, you know, that's all like well known. However, cell phones have made things go parabolic. And so what I mean by that is 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, boredom was natural. So if you're listening, like, when was the last time you were bored? If I put you down at a restaurant and you're waiting for someone, you'll check your phone 5, 10, 20 times. You know, being in that bored state no longer happens. And in that bored state we're in, there's two branches of the nervous system. One is fight or flight, and one is rest and digest, the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. And just to make it simple, one is pushing the gas pedal, one is pushing the brake. And when we wake up, check our phone, there's a Slack notification, an email, you know, you're late for work, you're looking at social media, those create dopamine and norepinephrine responses. Your brain doesn't know the difference between real stress and perceived stress, so immediately you're stimulated. And what happens is we're in that stimulated state all day long, which is great for like focus and work, but it disconnects us from the part of our nervous system where we find meaning, love. You know, we're in that rest and digest when we have sex, when we do eye gazing with a partner, when we give someone a hug, when we're eating. And so that part of our life is really under assault due to our environment. And it's extremely difficult for 99% of people. You know, they're on their phone. There's requirements of real life. And so where 20 years ago, you're in a natural meditative state because you're bored. You're sitting around doing nothing. Even the way you watch TV, there would at least be commercials. You know, now it's just nonstop all the time. And so if you're listening and just think like, do I feel overwhelmed? The answer, you know, whether it's mental health or not, it's just the answer to do I feel overwhelmed for everybody is yes. And so now we need these new tools to help re-regulate and change our nervous system state.
Beautifully summarized. Guess what occurs to me is, you know, couldn't we just say, let's just stop doing those things? Or do we need the tools in order to, like, you know, not be addicted to the cell phone?
I think you need sort of an equal balance to the thing you're doing. And so the tools that we use, ice baths, saunas, breath work, you know, exercise. In my personal experience, I use psychedelic medicines also. And so these things help change the nervous system state physiologically. which people can get behind. So if you've, you know, go for a run, like you feel it instantly. If you do breath work, you feel it instantly. You can instantly feel better. And sometimes just stopping, you know, those thoughts are there persistent. And so many people listening, it's probably, oh, I wake up, but you know, I need to go to work. What about my task list? What about my kids? What does this person think of me? It's just never ending. Mm. So it's very difficult without specific techniques that help you get into your body and stop the thinking mind. And just give you some space from, like, the overwhelm is, yes, checking your phone, but then it's the thoughts that are created in your mind. Your mind is like a wild animal, you know? It's just thinking all the time. And so it's very difficult to say, like, okay, I'm just going to stop looking at my phone, right? For most people, that's almost impossible. Especially, this isn't really a topic that's covered in society. There's a ton of research on, you know, increased phone and increased social media use with higher rates of depression, but it's not something that's like well known, right? So if I'm saying to you, stop using your phone half the day, you know, try to create more space, it's like extremely challenging. And I just saw, even trying to teach people to meditate, you know, take a couple minutes, very low conversions. Many people would say, oh, I'm busy, you know. So it's just this problem of people don't understand the way they're feeling oftentimes, but know they feel overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder if meditation is harder now than it was 20 years ago, for example, because, you know, it's like, you know, stepping off of the escalator. The faster the escalator was going, the more you're going to stumble and the harder it is to just walk on the ground.
Absolutely. I would bet significantly harder to go from this tweaked up fight or flight, coffee, work, computer, phone state into a state of, okay, I don't have any stimulation. And you can notice this based on how busy you are. The addiction increases in like size and scope. And so what I mean by that is, you know, if you're consistently on email all day, when you stop, there's this period of, I want to do something. I want to check Twitter. I want to watch TV. It becomes, your brain is producing so much dopamine. This is how it works with addiction to drugs. And you know, that response starts to take over everything in your life where you need continued stimulation. And so this can be, you know, it can be binging on Netflix. It can be eating fast food on Uber Eats. It can be social media. And so the more you give into these reward dopamine producing activities, the harder it is to stabilize and move to the other side of the nervous system to put the brake on. So I've seen that in my own life also in like really busy times. I get super overwhelmed. And so that's when some of these more body-based activities like the ice bath, the sauna, breath work can be extremely helpful.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I do ice buckets or cold showers. Ice baths rarely, mostly after a tournament when I feel my body just needs to go cryo for a little while. Help us understand how, like, what is that doing vis-a-vis the nervous system that can have an impact on sort of the speed of my life and the levels of stimulation?
So number one, the ice bath from a longevity standpoint, there's a famous longevity researcher, David Sinclair, and he ranks hot and cold contrast therapy as the second best thing you can do for your health and longevity after intermittent fasting, time-restricted eating. So there's a ton of longevity benefits, which are great, and I'll get into, but when you get in the ice bath, what I think is really interesting from a nervous system standpoint, you're boosting the norepinephrine in the brain by 3 times. And so that's, what's norepinephrine? It's a little neurotransmitter that creates feelings of mood, attention, vigilance. So, you know, you get in this super cold water, your mind's saying, hey, this could be dangerous. And as a result, you become hyper aware. And so what that means is, you know, your worries, your thinking mind, it just flows away. And so what we found from doing these for thousands of people was that this is actually a gateway into a meditative state. And so if you've struggled to meditate, you sort of, you know, are forced in a way to just let go and become hyper present. And then about 30 seconds in, we teach you to control your breathing and control your nervous system response. So in real life, when you face fear, anger, anxiety, embarrassment, these create physical effects in the body that create this fight or flight state. And you can't really train for that, right? Once you're angry, you're angry. And so what we're teaching you through daily ice bath exposure is to feel what it's like for your nervous system to ramp up using long, slow breaths, breathing deep into the belly, into the parasympathetic nervous system, slowing the exhale down. you're able to take that heightened state and reduce it in real time. And so what happens when you've been practicing this for a while is you notice when you're feeling those emotions in your day-to-day life. So somebody cuts you off on the road, you know, you start to get angry. You feel, hey, my nervous system's been activated. Okay, I know what this feels like. I know how to breathe through it to move back into the other side, the rest and digest part of the nervous system. So it's very rarely talked about with ice baths, the mental benefits, but you're in this sort of guided meditation state with like training wheels that's helping you get to that state of focus. And then you're learning how to relax through your breath to change your nervous system state. So it's just like a mind-blowing experience for creating resilience for difficult emotions, which I think is just so special because it works every time. You never build habituation to it. I've been doing it for 4 years, 5 years, every day, and it's just every single time when I need space from a challenging emotion, it's there for me.
So it's so true. You never habituate, but that's also like in the negative sense. I'd be like, is there going to come a day when I'm not going to try to talk myself out of it? And so far, it hasn't happened. It's like every day I hear my voice say, well, so I'll either do like a 5 gallon ice bucket, which is, I don't know, 40 pounds or something. I'll say, did I tweak my back? I think I tweaked my back. It's just not responsible to do it today. Or, yeah, no, I think, I don't think, like, blah, 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 blah. And it's always BS. But I've never got, like you do something for that long. I've been doing this since 2016. And I still have to fight myself every day to do cold exposure. Like, is that part of it?
Yeah. So it never, that first step of like, it's similar to jumping off a bridge or out of a plane. Like you have that fight or flight response and it's nerve wracking. And so what we start to teach people is to turn that feeling off instantly so you can control the nervous system through breath, which is really important and empowering. But there's always that like gentle resistance. And so what we found works really well is having a physical space dedicated to this. And so, in our space, there's a 50-person sauna with crazy sound system. There's 4 ice baths. There's guides that are helping you get through it. There's a team around during the classes to hold you accountable. And you know, once you do it, you feel amazing. And so what we found for people is once they, have 5, 6, 7 under the belt, they start to crave the feeling after, despite having that like bit of fear before. And so it's really important to tie, and the difference in a cold shower or an ice bucket versus an ice bath is pretty significant in the norepinephrine release and that feeling of just like absolute feeling of being alive. And so we start to teach people like, hey, this is the feeling of being alive, like completely alert in this hyper aware state. Notice it, right? And then after people have done that 5, 6 times, they start to, the fear is reduced because they know about the carrot on the other side, how good they're going to feel and how good it is for them. So we have those guided experiences in community. Plus we explain the science at a very detailed level, what's happening in the cellular system in terms of like reduced inflammation, boosted immune system, boosted antioxidant systems that increase metabolism. And so when you explain all this, you start to understand, okay, this is like extremely good for me. There's science backing it. It's a slight like 5 second, 10 second discomfort for this amazing reward. We found that people can like really get behind that.
Gotcha. So, I'm a health coach. I get people to do all sorts of things and they will agree. Yes, I will do some breath work. Yes, I will do some meditation. Yes, I'll journal. I have not gotten a single person to agree to do cold exposure. And they laugh. And like, the reaction, like I've kind of given up. Like to me, the daily cold exposure is the single most important thing that I have done to regulate my nervous system. Better than meditate. Like all the other things, are around the edges or benefit. But like the cold exposure was like night and day in terms of my ability to withstand discomfort and stay human and stay present. And I can't get anyone to do it. Someone who's not going to come to your center with all the support, how do you help people like do their first ice bath?
Absolutely. We have content around this. And so we've had 5,000 people come through our space, people that are, 70 years old, people that are 14 years old, both sexes, all races, people that are like deathly afraid of the cold and hate it. So it's very, very possible to get anyone to do this. And what we do is we start by talking about the science. So we'll spend 5 minutes explaining really detailed what a boost in norepinephrine means, how that reduces inflammation. People that live to 100 have two things in common: low inflammation scores and strong immune systems. The cold significantly impacts both of those elements. There's an increase in your antioxidant systems, as I mentioned. Your antioxidant systems basically determine how healthy you are, how able your body is to reduce free radicals caused from like stress, toxins, environment. So we kind of really like dive into, okay, why should you do this, right? And make sure people understand, like, there's been studies that people have doubled the amount of white blood cells when swimming in the winter. That's crazy, especially for people who are like, hey, I'm worried about COVID, and, you know, boosting my immune system is extremely important. So linking to science, sharing podcasts where they go deep into this stuff, it's like step one, baseline, table stakes. You need to understand the why. And most people don't. It's like, oh, I saw Wim Hof. He jumps in the cold. He's crazy. Ha. Like, you know, it's like, okay, there's real research here that this is significant. The second point is explaining, like, how do you do this? What do you do, right? And so we'll do Zoom calls where we'll do a cold shower Zoom challenge where everyone jumps on, they have their phone, they're putting it in their bathroom, and we talk through the science. And then we explain, like, okay, how do you actually do it? So a cold shower, you know, you start warm, wash yourself regularly, doesn't need to be difficult. Then you turn the cold water all the way to cold, you know, cold right away. Just get into it. And you really need to explain the first 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds. It's not going to feel like that the entire time, right? So it's kind of like, make sure you're getting in there, getting your neck under and breathing. And so we'll guide people in the call through the breathing. And so this can all be done via Zoom. So I think the combination of really falling into the why and then explaining the how, like, yeah, this is going to be a bit uncomfortable. And then we usually like to get people to try it 2 to 3 times. And then after, which is the most important part, is like, how do you feel now?
Okay, so you're kind of guiding people through that, the first showers. Do you then go back and forth? So if you talk about, you know, David Sinclair's, contrast, would you recommend to people to, you know, 2 minutes cold, 2 minutes hot, back and forth in the shower, or just get out cold?
No, I think it's just a matter of how long your body is cold for and creating this norepinephrine effect. And so the longer your body is cold for, the better. I don't think there's, you know, if you're doing contrast and you're getting more time cold, great, but it's definitely not necessary. I think it's just part of a, you know, a routine. If you're trying to get started, just aim for 30 seconds cold at the end. Try that for 5 days. It's much better that you find a pace that you're going to actually do and continue versus you do 1 5-minute cold shower and then never want to do it again because you're afraid. So yeah. I think it's just getting used to that sensation of cold that takes, you know, 30 seconds, mastering that and then increasing as you need. And so both with the hot and cold, you know, with the hot, with the sauna, it's the benefits come from your body overheating. So it's not really in short dose so much as, you know, your total time accumulated. So I don't think the contrast is super necessary in the shower.
Gotcha. All right. Now, how about cold baths? So when I've done cold bath, I typically go and buy a bag of ice, which can, you know, if I do that every day, sounds like it could get expensive and I need like an extra freezer. So how do you help people? What does that look like for someone?
Yeah, so our goal is to build spaces in every city that people locally can come to just like they would a gym and access cold and hot, you know, the same way they would as a fitness class. So I think for people who are listening, the options like buying ice, huge pain in the ass, plus super expensive. So I would say your options are a chest freezer, which you can rework. And there's tons of stuff online about like do-it-yourself chest freezer. The cost is $200 to sort of $400. You can plug it in. There's some, you know, stuff around is it safe or not because it's connected to electricity. And there hasn't been any injuries that I know of, but a lot of people will say, hey, you know, be careful. And so we have many people in our community who sort of, you know, have a garage or outdoor space and they put the chest freezer and it can be installed in, you know, a weekend. Very, very easy. Next option is
And the chest freezer, then you keep water in it?
Yeah, exactly. And so you would keep water in it and then filter it every once in a while. If you're using it solo, you know, daily, you don't need to worry too much. Maybe once a month you're replacing the water. Once every 3 weeks you can kind of tell when the water gets murky. Uh-huh. You can also use like something like chlorine or like a shock product like you would with a pool. But I would say, you know, it's pretty good for usually around 3 weeks with a single person, like 50, even longer, like probably 40 to 50 people is when we notice like the water needs to be changed.
Gotcha. And do you have to get a special device to keep the temperature above freezing if it's a freezer?
No, you can generally put salt in the water, but the water itself won't freeze over. So there's a ton of guides you can just click on. You can easily, you know, plug in, put the water in, and there's like thermometers you can attach that you can control with your phone that are like $20.
Okay. Great. Okay. And can we talk about saunas for a couple minutes? Because I would love for you to convince me to get a sauna, because I sort of like, you know, flirt with the idea every so often, but then it's kind of like expensive and where am I going to put it? You know, what's the science? Sell me on that.
So you want to be using the sauna. The, you know, recommended protocol is sort of 3 times or more per week for about 20 minutes at around like 180 to 190 degrees, sort of baseline. And so they did this study in Finland. It's the largest study done on sauna use over a 20-year period, primarily in men, only in men, 2,000 men. And over that 20-year period, they found men who used the sauna 3 times or more per week had a 40% reduction in cardiovascular disease, 50% reduction in all-cause mortality, 60% reduction in Alzheimer's. So these are like, you know, cardiovascular disease is the number one killer in North America, especially for people with poor diet. So it's like one of the only ways you can work your vascular system. And what's happening, due to heat, your blood vessels are dilating. It's reducing strain on the heart. It makes it easier to pump blood flow through the body. So like, fantastic. It's also what's called an exercise mimetic. So it's, your heart rate gets up to 140 to 160. So it's very similar to a brisk walk or light jog. So on days when you're recovering, it's fantastic for the body. At very high temperatures, you know, as you're pushing yourself, your brain produces heat shock proteins. So heat shock proteins help disaggregate plaques from the body, which may be why the Alzheimer's cases were so much lower. It also produces BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor, which is fantastic for neuroplasticity. So from a brain health standpoint, super beneficial. There's also the effect on your mood. So there was a study in the 80s on sauna use where they would put people in an infrared box and a light box without heat. Mm. And controlling for that study, they found better results than any antidepressant medications. And so what's happening, your brain produces endorphins, right? And so when your endorphins obviously make you happy, they make you feel good, they're stimulating. And so in the sauna, you're actually producing dynorphin when you overheat, which is like the feel bad hormone. And what it prepares is for when you get out of the sauna, a massive increase in endorphins. So you feel like, wow, I feel amazing. And that feeling lasts for the rest of the day. So you have this local mood boost every day. Fantastic for brain health, amazing for cardiovascular health, and then finally for detoxification. So sweating, just like an exercise, you're removing heavy metals, leads, phthalates, plastics, mercury from the body, which we're all overexposed to due to current environment. So again, just like David Sinclair says, you know, contrast therapy, hot, cold, from a health coach standpoint, from a longevity standpoint, this is one of the best things you can do for your body outside of fasting. So, you know, for me, I'm in the sauna minimum 4 times a week. It's my favorite place to be. I'm doing breath work in there. I'm reading in there. I'm listening to podcasts. I'm just connecting with friends. If you have one at your house, you can invite friends over and make it, you know, sort of a dinner date. It's just such a profound, and it's been around since the beginning of time in all cultures, you know? And so what does that say? Like, I really love things that humans have done through our evolutionary paths. And so, you know, the Temescal in Mexico, the sweat lodge in indigenous cultures, the onsen in Japan, the hammam in Turkey, the banya in Russia and Finland, bathhouse in ancient Rome. It's just been used for social gatherings, for health, for purification, for spirituality forever. So, you know, that's my pitch for why you should get a sauna. And as having one and have had one for 4 years, it's just nothing better than that.
Okay, well, now I'm motivated. What should I get?
So depending on, the first thing is like, how big is your space and what is the power requirements? So if you're in the U.S. and you're looking for a solid infrared sauna, the brands Clearlight and Sunlighten are both very high quality. The panels that they source are fantastic in terms of like EMF emissions. So that's kind of one. If you had the cheapest one is about $5,000 for a two person, which just plugs into the wall. If you had budget and space, I would highly recommend a dry sauna with an electric heater. Because a lot of these benefits happen at higher temperatures when the body is stressed. And so in an infrared, you may have to spend 45, 50 minutes to get to that point. Whereas in a dry sauna, it's, 15, 12 minutes to get to the same point. Mm. And so you really want to be pushing that heat stress, releasing those heat shock proteins I mentioned, getting the heart rate up. That's where a lot of the value comes, is from stressing the body. And so if you can, a dry sauna is fantastic.
Okay. What about my local gym, which I haven't gone to since COVID, has a steam room. Is any research on that?
Yes, the problem with the steam room is the more humidity in the air, the hotter the temperature on the skin. And so as a result, the total temperature is much lower. So steam can be great for the lungs, for respiration, for your skin specifically for hydrating. But it's not the same level, not even close. It's usually like 120, 130. Versus a sauna that's getting up to, 190. Mm. I think it's even actually, it might be less than 120. And so the problem is the water in the air gets so hot, it burns the skin at a certain rate. And so it's much harder to heat your core temperature in the steam room than in these other. I would even say a hot tub is actually better than a steam room.
Huh. All right. I've seen infrared saunas for 1,000, 1,200. Is there... which is, sort of closer to a budget that I would consider. Are there downsides to the low end?
Yes, you just want to take a look at whatever panels you're buying, that the EMF radiation coming from them, because you're spending, every day, potentially 1 hour in there. It's quite a lot of time over a 10-year period. And so for me, the expense to ensure that the EMFs are minimal with I know Clearlight and Sunlighten panels have done.
Mm-hmm.
So I can highly recommend those brands for low EMF. But if you're going to buy them, just check where did the panels come from, what's the EMF. Do a little Google search for sauna rankings, and just kind of do your own research. And just that's the one thing to make sure.
Very good. All right. So we covered heat and cold, mostly for my benefit. But now let's talk about breathing, which you said is far more legal than most psychedelics, more accessible. It's a sort of a lower barrier to entry, at least in people's minds, than meditation, and gives quicker results. So how did you first encounter breath work? What was your first experience that told you there's something here?
So the first, there's many styles of breathing. There's, your breathing habits day to day, moment to moment. And then there's specific breathwork to elicit a feeling. And so, if you think of what you can do with breathwork, it's kind of in a triangle. One is push the gas on the nervous system to boost your energy, to create that fight or flight state, to create focus. Another is push the brake to get into that parasympathetic state, which is, after work, I'm having anxiety, I'm trying to relax. And the third is kind of exploration. And so this is in 15, 30-minute, 45-minute sessions where you're reducing the CO2 and the blood flow to the brain. And as the result, you're shutting down the thinking mind and allowing for emotions to be processed. And so that you use if, you're struggling, you've had an issue with your job, you're having self-doubt, you've got out of a tough relationship, you're struggling with your kids. It's sort of, I can either boost my energy, I can relax, or I can get space and process challenging emotions, which is very beautiful. And so those are the three things when I think of what breath work, all the different styles of breath work kind of elicit those responses physiologically. And how I got into it was through this explorer I mentioned, and it was doing Wim Hof breathing. And so I'd heard him on a podcast and thought this was really interesting, and listened to a YouTube guided session he did on Lewis Howe's podcast. And I did the breathing, and I was like, wow, it's like 4 years ago now, maybe. I just thought, this is amazing. And so I did it every day, that YouTube video, for an entire year. And I would use it when I, worried about my financial security, we're moving, and I've got all this stuff to do. Is my job going to go well? And so just kind of every morning I would do this 30-minute breath work. to boost my energy and help me get some space from thoughts. And that's why I mentioned, you know, it's kind of like having a coffee, anti-anxiety, anti-inflammation, or like painkiller or psychedelic in your pocket, because your breath can do all those things, which, you know, I started with Wim Hof, and then I did the read the book Breath by James Nestor, and the Oxygen Advantage by Patrick McKeon, and read almost every research paper on breathing styles, breath work, and how it affects the body, and sort of found these three, this triangle, and then we built a ton of exercises around each. The interesting thing about the exercises, though, which you won't find anything else, is like they're set to amazing music, right? So it's like, wow, I want to listen to this anyways. And so maybe you're listening to your favorite classical piece while you're cooking, and in the background, it's just guiding you to take the proper, coherent, like 6-second breath for boosting heart rate variability while you're cooking, you know, or while you're walking. And so the idea was, can we slide breathing and these moments into your day in what's otherwise like a super busy day in a way that's fun?
Yeah. So can you describe like what 30 minutes of the Wim Hof, or what you know, maybe you've adapted it. Let me ask this first. Like, is there a minimum effective dose for breathing, right? I have a friend who's a coach who starts every session with like 32 seconds of breathing, and, you know, four second box breathing twice. And he says like the people who come and work with him like feel it in 32 seconds. And so I'm wondering, like,
yeah, so let's try right now. So if everyone is listening, and, you know, put a hand on your belly, your belly button, and one on your chest, and we're going to breathe in through the nose, filling up the belly, and then a long, slow exhale through the mouth, as long and slow as you can. Just letting go of any tension in the body and the shoulders. And so if you notice, in that, I don't know, 15 seconds, you can have a state change. One single breath deep into the lungs can change things. One single point of focus of breathing in, breathing out, letting go, you know, it's amazing. So minimum effective dose is one breath, which is why it's so powerful. So, you know, on the app, notification 3 times a day, hey, take your single breath, you know, or take 2 single breaths, or take 3 single breaths, and kind of start there and see where you can go. And so that's if you want to downregulate the nervous system, which we talked about, push the brake, get into that parasympathetic, start to relax. If you want to upregulate, we've seen in as little as 1 minute, and around might be, you know, in, two, out, two. So just deep into the belly, not holding at the top or bottom, but just like that, following that pace for about a minute. And at the end of the minute, one deep breath in, fully exhaling and holding on empty for about 30 seconds. And that's the traditional Wim Hof method, doing rounds. It's based on an even older method that's thousands of years old called TUMO. And what's happening is you're breathing out more carbon dioxide than normal. As a result, the blood vessels constrict and a fight or flight response happens. So blood flow goes to the brain, you become super aware and alert. And so you can boost your energy just like a coffee in a single minute, a single round of that style of breathing. And so for us in the morning, our most popular sessions are just called up. Up meaning upregulate the nervous system. And it's generally around 3 rounds of a Wim Hof-like variant. And during each round in the hold, we ask a question. You know, what are you grateful for today? What would make today great? What's a relationship you're grateful for? You know, what do you want to achieve? So things like that that you might journal on. So while you're doing the breath work in the hold, you have some time to contemplate. And then we have usually a little meditation, just a little visualization at the end to get your day started. So it's kind of like a morning routine in a box, ready to go. One thing, you press play and you get your contemplation, your breathing, your meditation, your gratitude, your powerful feelings all in one. And we've seen that over, you know, kind of, we try to have them under 10 minutes. So kind of between 6 to 10 minutes each day, there's a new one. And we've seen that be just super popular as a way to, you know, bootstrap and start off on the right foot.
Gotcha. So now the way I learned Wim Hof was sort of this, you know, 30 breaths with a full energetic inhale, a passive exhale, just sort of like, you know, like a balloon deflating, and then holding your breath for as long as you can and sort of, you know, timing it with the timer. And then when you're done, breathing in and holding that for 10, 15 seconds. So it sounds like you're not doing the extended timed breath hold.
No, so we have songs, you know, tracks with different levels of breath hold depending on your skill set or like where you feel comfortable. So some songs have much longer holds. I don't personally find there's too much difference in the hold length. So, you know, for us, simple 30-second to 45-second to 1-minute hold works quite well. And if you feel you need more, you can do a longer session or longer rounds versus like, you know, really trying to hold until the end. Like most of the effects are actually coming from the breathing itself. And what's happening, as I mentioned, you're breathing out so much carbon dioxide that your blood vessels are constricting and the amount of oxygen the brain is absorbing is actually significantly reduced, which creates all kinds of, you know, shutting down of the prefrontal cortex and your body's ability to sort of process emotion. Mm-hmm. And so you're having that fight or flight response plus this. And so that can be done, you know, it doesn't matter how long you're holding. You can do short holds, long holds, and just kind of, you know, if you want more, then do more rounds.
Okay, gotcha. So a while back, I was doing some Buteyko, I guess is the Patrick McEwen's oxygen advantage is based on that. And so what I was doing was sort of like 5 or 10 minutes of breathing where I just wasn't quite breathing in as much as I wanted to. And I found it nearly unbearable. Like it was just incredibly hard to do, to keep going. I couldn't wait till it was over. Do you do any, for the exploration or like, is that part of a protocol? And if so, what's the value?
Yeah, so the Buteyko is all about resetting what's called your CO2 tolerance, and trying not to get super technical here. Imagine your brain like a thermostat, and it's measuring how much carbon dioxide is in your body, in your cells. When you've hit a certain amount of carbon dioxide buildup, your brain is saying like, hey, breathe out. Mm. Now, why is carbon dioxide important? So you can think of when you breathe in, you're breathing in oxygen molecules. They're going through your lungs. They're going into the red blood cells. They're like kind of, and this is an analogy from James Nestor, but they're kind of like little boats. And so imagine these red blood cells, these boats picking up oxygen from your lungs and taking them throughout the body to be used. Now imagine carbon dioxide is like the seatbelt. And when, you know, there's not enough carbon dioxide in the body, it's very hard. It's something called the Bohr effect. It's very hard for the oxygen molecule, this little person, to get out of the boat and be used in the body. And oxygen is needed in like all, you know, your brain processes, your muscles, your organs, all the processes that happen in your body run on oxygen. And so imagine if you don't have enough carbon dioxide in the body, you're not effectively absorbing oxygen. Even if you're breathing in as much as possible, just from a, you know, physiological standpoint, you need carbon dioxide to facilitate the delivery of oxygen into the body. So that's why it's important. Now, over time, your brain is measuring how much carbon dioxide is in the body, and that shifts. And so if you're eating acidic foods, you know, fast food from Uber Eats, if your mouth breathing, which happens when we go to bed, if we eat late before bed, if you're exercising a lot, you mouth breathe again, your body gets used to not having a lot of carbon dioxide in it because you're over breathing. So things that cause over breathing again, eating acidic foods causes you to release more carbon dioxide as your body's pH rebalances. Mouth breathing at sleep, which can be caused by alcohol, dehydration, eating before bed, excessive exercise daily, where you're over breathing to get in more oxygen, and then just general stress. So if you find, you know, you're looking at your phone all the time, you see something, you get worried, you start breathing out of your chest, you over-breathing, your mouth breathing. And so the whole idea of Buteyko is your nasal breathing, you're really extenuating the holds of your breath, you're building up, when you hold your breath, your body builds up carbon dioxide. And you're slow, like you mentioned, it's called like the hunger for air, and you're breathing at this point where you almost feel like you're gonna suffocate because you're building more CO2 in the body. And as a result, you're resetting the brain's thermostat. And so the idea is that there's a cool test for this called a CO2 tolerance test. And so you breathe in once in the morning, nice long slow exhale, and you hold on empty, and you'll count how long you can hold for. And it's not like how long you can push, it's just when your diaphragm spasms. which kind of gives you an idea. Is it 10 seconds, 20 seconds, 40 seconds? And the rule of thumb is if it's under 20 seconds, then your breathing patterns in life need improvement. And it's likely it's under 20 for like majority of people because, as I mentioned, you know, acidic foods, overstressed, eating before bed, all these things are like pretty common in society. And so most people, athletes especially, because they're exercising so much, actually have poor breathing habits. And so Buteyko is all about correcting your baseline breathing habits and your body's ability to absorb oxygen. And so a few ways that are fantastic is taping your mouth when you sleep, just so your mouth is shut, so you're guaranteed to breathe through your nose, which is kind of strange feeling at first, but it's kind of the best way to get into Buteyko is just, hey, I'm going to tape my mouth. The others are doing during walking. You know, we have some breath works where they're just long, slow exhales, short inhales. You can do them while you're walking. You can do them sitting down, but it's this like building air hunger during the day. And then the other is, you know, while you're at your computer using some type of tool or device that slows your exhales naturally, so you're having proper breathing patterns during the workday. And a device that you can buy for like $20 is it's called the Relaxator by Anders Olsen, who's also written a book on breathwork called Conscious Breathing. That's pretty good.
Okay, great. So one question that I have about, I guess, the CO2 tolerance test, is that that's the same as the BOLT test?
Yeah, okay. Body oxygen level test. Right.
So what I'm unclear about is when you say breathe until empty, like how, like empty, like I can't, you know, there's not another exhale that I could do, like I'm caved in, or just sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just breathe out normally. And when you're at the bottom of the exhale, just stop there. And look, whether it's like, it's your own personal score, right? You're not really trying to cheat. You're just trying to see like, what is my number and how can I increase it? And even if your number is 10, can you increase it to 20? If the number is 20, can you increase it to 30? Elite is sort of like 40, 45. If you're in that range, then, you know, great. Your breathing patterns are like pretty close to perfect. And so then a lot of this stuff like mouth taping, it's not as necessary. It's when it's below 20 that you really should start thinking about making changes. And these changes mean your body's going to absorb more oxygen at the cellular level, which means like less anxiety, better sleep, all kinds of different things. And so if you're struggling to sleep, waking up in the middle of the night, oftentimes it can just be poor breathing habits.
Okay, gotcha. And yeah, I just want to say, you know, a personal testimonial to the fact that, like, I've done work on stress on myself, and I've taught about it for decades. And people think like, oh, the moment of stress is when I have leverage over it. Like, I'm going to think it's not in my control, or count to 10, or, you know, serenity now, or whatever. And what I discovered from the breathing and the other nervous system stuff is that the game of stress is won or lost in practice well before you reach that moment of, you know, like when you redline, you're done, right? At that point, everything goes out the window. The goal of all this neurological adaptation is to lower your baseline so that things don't redline you anymore, so you still have capacity to deal with them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's why having a daily practice of hot, cold, breath work, all of these things help to deal with overwhelm, help to create space from a cellular standpoint. They help to make sure the body functions properly. Exercise is another, you know, so kind of looking holistically at all these things. Why I like them, like breath work, I can do in 5 minutes. I can do in 1 minute. I can do on our app at any time. So it's very easy to slide into my day. I can do, you know, hot and cold with friends at night, which is great because I do that instead of, you know, going out for a beer. I don't drink, or, you know, going for a coffee or going for a meal. Like, I just love to have people come over and we sit in the sauna, and it's super healthy. And so, you know, trying to get as many of these body-based practices into your schedule in a way that works for you, that's kind of all you really need.
Mm-hmm. So one question is, you made it seem a moment ago like there's dangers to over-exercising, but exercise is good. Do you have any thoughts or guidelines on, like, how do I know if I'm just, you know, over-breathing during exercise and it's not giving me those benefits?
Yeah, so generally when you're exercising, you will be over-breathing when you're exerting yourself at, you know, a specific heart rate, and you can watch when you transition from nose to mouth breathing. So for professional athletes that really want to maximize their BOLT score, because how much oxygen they can use determines how long it is until they gas out, Patrick McKeon will actually have them train with mouth tape. And so for the first 3 weeks, month, it's like quite difficult because they can't exert themselves fully without breathing through their mouth. And over time, the body adapts and is better able to optimize for oxygen. So if you're every day, pushing yourself to the max, you're definitely over breathing. And so the things you can do is like tape your mouth during exercise, which is kind of weird if you're not a professional athlete, but just be cognizant of like the point when you go from nose breathing to mouth breathing. And then the other thing you can do is we have some sessions around post-workout breath, just 5 minutes, you know, a couple breath holds, slowing your breathing down to let that carbon dioxide build up again and sort of prepare you post exercise session.
Got it. Great. So you've mentioned an app. You've mentioned a center. If people are like enthralled and they want to learn more and they want your help and guidance, what do you have for people?
Yes, I think that the app is the best place to start. So it's just Othership, Othership.us/app. And so you can download on both iPhone and Android. And there's just amazing.
Othership. Othership, Othership.us/app.
Yep. And we can put in a link to the show notes if you do that. But that's the best way to just get started. There's like 10-day intros to breath work that you can just try. There's a 2-week free trial. Just to kind of get a sense. It's like, hey, is working on my breath something for me? That's available now for anyone in Toronto. You know, I'd love to invite you to come by our physical space. We're already looking at spaces in the U.S. For mid next year in a few major markets. So that's really exciting too. And then you can follow me on Twitter at RobbieBent1. I talk about a lot of this stuff, and you can also DM me if you have questions about like, hey, I'm trying to build a routine. What about this? And so I'm available on Twitter and LinkedIn. And so you can put all those links, but yeah, would you know, suggest just jumping in, trying a free session on the app and seeing if you know the 10-minute morning specifically, mm-hmm. if that one is for you to kind of help jumpstart your day. I've just seen like you know people who wouldn't leave their house during COVID start doing breath work and release all their fear. You know, people going through breakups that was like this was all they had to kind of help them through deal with challenging emotions. So while you can definitely use it in the morning to boost your energy and definitely use it in a time of need, like that one big breath we did on the channel, there's deeper things you can do to really change the way you feel and like kind of inspire these feelings of gratitude and forgiveness and compassion that are so beautiful.
Gotcha. Toronto, there's a strong Russian community. I know you have at least two or three, you know, banyas up there. I trained at Sistema headquarters in Toronto. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
No, not Sistema, but I've been to pretty much all the Russian bathhouses in the area. That's where I actually learned about the bathhouse prior to Wim Hof was just a place in Mississauga called Southwestern Bathhouse. It's a traditional Russian banya. It's amazing. I spent probably been there 50 times. Just every weekend I would go with friends. And that's what sort of led to this idea in the first place of like making this more accessible to all.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Sistema is a Russian martial art and they're, you know, like that's where I got the daily ice bucket and this idea of, you know, we are too comfortable in our lives and it's killing us. One more question. Are there contraindications to doing certain types of breath work, either for physical or emotional, mental health challenges? That someone might say, you know, I should get checked out first before I try any of this?
So for the down-regulated breathing, which is like slow breathing, box breathing, breath holds, no contraindicators, very easy on the body. You're literally pushing the brake on the nervous system. So it's good for all. For the up-regulated style breathing with like longer breath holds, faster breathing, where you're creating these physiological changes up, there can be contraindications for people that are pregnant. But that's pretty much it. And so, you know, there can be issues for people who also have epilepsy. And then the final is when you're pushing yourself in these 30-minute, 60-minute breath works that I was talking about, which is sort of this like emotional release mm-hmm. range, you are shutting down the prefrontal cortex. You are allowing emotions to come up, sometimes traumas. And so you may have a traumatic response or awakening of some type of an event. So if you had PTSD or everybody has some trauma from like fearful moments, accidents, even just the time they felt fear, you know, rejection, failure, those moments can come up. And so having support is fantastic. So we work with an integration center in Toronto. We work with coaches. And so if people have something come up when doing a deeper session, then we you know, recommend speaking one-to-one with somebody.
Awesome. Is there anything that I have not asked about that you think is important for people to know?
I'm super excited just to let people know there are new social tools to have fun that are actually healthy. So one is, you know, a sauna and ice bath space. It's an amazing way to kind of go out and socialize. And two, what we've been doing lately is breathwork concerts. And so the concerts will have 4 or 5 live musicians. We'll have, you know, 100 people gather, and they'll be split into groups. They'll do a group share to connect with the group and feel seen and heard. Then we'll have like intention setting and journaling and, you know, movement, some shaking, and then amazing breath work set to music from live musicians with the facilitation. And then it ends out with a close. And so what I'm trying to build, or what we're thinking about, is, you know, is the future in 5 years from now, that for a birthday party, instead of going to a bar, an event, a nightclub, a, you know, some type of like networking thing, people meet and they do breath work together with like a live facilitator and musician, and it's fun. And maybe that's the future of entertainment. And so I think for people who've struggled with meditation, cold and hot, they're just feeling overwhelmed, not healthy. That's common. That's the norm. That's 99% of people that come in. And so there are these new tools you can use that are like fun, and they can be used to inspire. And you know, for me as a former addict, I was just going into like church basements to share in groups, and I always felt like I was broken. And, you know, or, and if you go to therapy, it's like, oh, you're depressed. Like, what's wrong with you? And so I think there's a new way for people who've lost hope to find community in a space that's like beautiful and nourishing. And so I just want people to remember that one thing, that like there is hope.
Awesome. Awesome. And, you know, and unlike psychedelics, there's no, you know, it's all within you already. You don't need to worry about, you know, stealing someone else's culture or being led by someone who's a little sketchy. You know, I'm a huge fan of psychedelics, and I think we're in a place where they're a very dangerous thing to get involved in if your eyes aren't very wide open. It feels like breath work is something that we all have as a birthright, right? We all do it all the day, all day, all night anyway. And just to bring more consciousness to what we are capable of and what's inside us, I think can then allow us to approach these other modalities with more respect and more discernment.
Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, these, you know, these things are available. You mentioned their birthright. You breathe 25,000 times a day. And so you think of what kind of impact that has on your body and nervous system. It's the only trigger for the automatic nervous system that we have control of. So, you know, digestion, heart rate, immune system, inflammation, nervous system response. So all that's controlled through breath, and it's available right now.
Awesome. Well, Robbie Bent, thank you so much for the work you've done, for turning your own early struggles, traumas, addictions into such a beautiful flowering of generosity and consciousness. And thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Beautiful. And just appreciate the invite. That was super fun.
All right. Well, take care. I'll put all this stuff in the show notes. And if folks have questions, it's at Robbie, and that's R-O-B-B-I-E, Bent1 at Twitter. So people can hit you up if they have specific questions.
Absolutely.
Okay. And othership.us/app. I'm going to go. That's the next thing I'm going to do after I get off the call with you, is go find that and start exploring. So thanks again. All right. So if you're intrigued, a good place to start today is after a shower, to turn it to cold for 30 seconds. Just stay in there and focus on breathing gently, relaxing rather than cringing, tightening, tensing up. And you can take it from there. So if you want to find out more, you want to check out the Othership app, you can see all that at the show notes for today's episodes, which is plantyourself.com/498. Boy, coming up on that magic 500. I still haven't decided who my 500th will be, but I'm starting to get an idea. Anyway, what else is going on? Last week, I took some time off in the middle of the day, and I played 4 days of Ultimate in a row. about 2 hours each time, running hard, breathing hard. And it really took it out of me by Sunday. I did it Wednesday through Saturday. Sunday, I took the day off. And Monday, I was sort of under the weather. I think I overdid it. So yesterday, spent most of it in bed working, just doing some writing. And today, did my my ice bucket. And it really was an ice bucket because it went down in the 20s last night. So I had to smash the ice with the heel of my hand in the bucket before pouring it over my head, and then went for a 3-mile-ish walk jog. So feeling much better. In garden news, got a bunch of cardboard from dumpsters. Christmas New Year's is always a great time to dumpster dive because they don't pick up so often. So got some great cardboard, took off the plastic, and now laying down to smother some weeds and to plant some new beds. All right, time for thanks. Thanks to Will Ridenour for allowing me to use his beautiful song, Sabali Dawn, The Dance of Peace. You can find more of Will's music at his website, willridenour.com. And of course, thanks to all of you Plant Yourself Podcast patrons, Kim Harrison, Lynn McClellan, Brittany Porter, Dominic Maurer, Barbara Whitney, Tammy Black, Amy Good, Amanda Hatherley, Mary Jane Wheeler, Ellen Kennelly, Melissa Cobb, Rachel Behrens, Tina Scharf, Tina Ahern, Jen Filkinofsky, David Bizek, The Mysterious Michelle X, Elsbeth Feldman, Leah Stoller, Alan Christensen, Colleen Peck, Michelle Landry, Josina, Sarah Durkas, Kelly Cameron, Janet Selby, Claire Adams, Tom Franzek, Jeanette Benham, Gil Lassert, David Donahue, Blair Seiberg, Dorona Vizov, Gio and Carolyn Argentati, Jody Friesner, Misha Rosen, Michael Warbeck, Aviva Lael, Alicia Lemus, Val Linneman, Nick Harper, Bandana Chali, Molly Levine, The Inscrutable Harry R., Susan Laverty, The Panda Vegan, Craig Kovic, Adam Scharf, Karen Burry, Heather Morgan, Nigel Davies, Marion Blum, Teresa Koppel, Julian Watkins, Breed O'Connell, Sharon Hirschman, Linda Ayad, Holm Hedegaard, Iza Tuzinwa, Connie Hainline, Aaron Greer, Alicia Davis, Heather O'Connor, Carolyn Jensen, Sherry Lakoski of Plant Powered for Health, Karen Smith, Scott Marani, Karen and Joe Crabtree, Kirby Burton, Teresa Carell, Kevin McCauley, Elizabeth Rothschild, Ann Jesse, Cheryl Dwyer, Jenny Hazelton, Peter W. Evans, Dennis Bird, Darby Kelly, Lori Fanny, Linnea Lundquist, Emily Iaconelli, Levy Wallach, Rosamund McAtee, Dan Picorni, Stephen Leenan, Patty DiMartino, Mike and Donna Kartz, Deanne Bishop, Bilberry Elf, Marjorie Lewis, Trisha Adams, Nancy Sheldon, Lindsay Bayshore, Gunmarit Hagen, Tracy Gullidge, Laura Heaton, Meg from Mama Says, Stacey Stokes, Ben Savage, Michael Kay, David Hughes, Connie Rogers, Claire England, Sally Robertson, Parham Ganchi, Amy Daly, Brian Tourville, Mark Jeffrey Johnson, Josie Dempsey, Karen Schmidt, Pamela Hayden, Emily Perryman, Allison Corbett, Richard Stone, Lauren Vaught of Edible Musings, Aaron Hasty, Sean Owen, Sagar Nayak, Erica Piedra, Danielle Roberts, Michael Lushton, Sarah Johnson, Catherine Floyd, for your generous support of the podcast. That's it for now. As always, be well, my friends.